Good evening. This evening we'll be having another lesson from the Gospel of Luke. This evening's lesson will be coming from Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 35. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind can see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by all her children." This passage opens with John the Baptist being told about what Jesus has been doing. John's disciples come to him and they tell him all the things that Jesus has been doing. And then John, on hearing this, calls two of his disciples to him, and he sends them off to Jesus with a question. We say, why didn't John just go himself? Instead of sending his disciples to ask the question, and the answer to that's pretty simple. John was in prison at this time, so his freedom of movement was highly curtailed. We see this in Matthew 11, verse 2. And so John's in prison, and his question is a very simple one. He says, "Are you he that cometh, or do we look for another?" Now, this is an interesting question for John to be asking. Partly on the one hand, because of who John was. John was the one who was to prepare the way for the Lord. He was the one who was that forerunner who was to make straight the pathways for the Lord. John's the one who, at Jesus' baptism, said, "I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you." And Jesus tells him to fulfill righteousness we need to do this. And following his baptism, John would have been there when the heavens opened up, when the Spirit came as a dove upon him. The voice cried out from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." It was John who, with his disciples and seeing Jesus, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of men." And yet it is this same John who at this point in time is sending his disciples to Jesus, asking the question, "Are you the one? Are you the coming one that we've been looking for? Or do we look for another?" Why would John be asking this question? Well, as I said, one of the reasons, which could very well easily be, John is in prison. John knows his time on this earth is short. And being in prison and somewhat isolated, it is not unusual for someone to have doubts. And in John's case, it'd be a case of, was my work in vain? I came to prepare the way for the one who was to come. That one being Jesus. But now he's having doubts as to whether my work has been in vain. Did I prepare for the wrong person? John's having doubts. Partly probably because he's in prison. Part of it is because of what he's hearing about Jesus from his disciples. Or more to the point, some of the things that he's not hearing about Jesus from his disciples. Some of the passages concerning that promised one that John would be very familiar with would have been Malachi 3, verses 1 through 3, where it reads, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant whom ye desire, behold, he cometh, saith Jehovah of hosts. But who can abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall offer unto Jehovah offerings in righteousness." And then later in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Jehovah coming." One of the things that John's looking for is he is looking for that Messiah to be coming and basically laying down the law, to be coming in judgment, to be getting the priesthood back on the right path, to get them where they're supposed to be and not where they are. For John is very much aware of the status of the priesthood and the leadership thereof. Remembering, John's father was a priest. And John has been preaching, "Repent." Yet, priesthood are not doing so. And so John is very much aware of that.
And so he's looking for one
to be coming for that great, you know, that great and terrible day of
Jehovah coming. He's looking for judgment
upon those to be happening. He is looking for there to be a process of refining God's people through fire, as it said here in Malachi. And when his disciples are reporting to him, this is not what he's hearing about. And so because of this, John is having doubts in his mind. Was my life, you know, was my work in vain? Is he not the promised one? And so John sends two of his disciples to go and ask Jesus, are you the coming one who's promised, or do we look for another? And so John sends his disciples to Jesus to ask this question. And when the disciples come to Jesus, they come to him and say, hey, John has a question. He wants to know, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? They fulfilled that mission that John had sent them on. They have asked Jesus the question. The indication we get, Jesus does not answer them right away. Rather, he continues on doing what he was doing, which is preaching the good news and healing those in need of healing. And as he goes along and he does these things, eventually he comes back to John's disciples. And he goes to them and he tells them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. What did John's disciples asked him, are you coming? Do we look for another? Jesus could have said, tell John yes. He could have easily done that. But he didn't. What Jesus does is he transforms John's disciples from being messengers to instead being witnesses. Now it's not simply a matter of Jesus having said yes, and them going back and saying, Jesus said yes. Now John's disciples are witnesses because they have been there. They have heard the message that Jesus has been proclaiming. And they have been seeing the miracles that he's been doing. And so now they can go back to John, say, John, we went and asked Jesus your question. We spent time with him. Here are the words that we heard. Here are the things that we have witnessed. And Jesus sends a message to you saying, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus makes John's disciples to be witnesses of him to John. And how is it that what they are witnessing relates to the question? Remember, John says, are you the one who's coming? Jesus' answer is, see what I've done. I've preached the good news to the poor. I've healed those of many various ailments, even into raising the dead. what Jesus is reminding John of and showing to John is that he's the fulfillment of the prophecies that come from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29, verses 18 and 19, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in Jehovah, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Then Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." And Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." The message Jesus is sending back by his disciples, the message to John is, "John, I am fulfilling the prophecies that have been given concerning me. Take heart in that. Be not discouraged. Yes, I am the one who is coming. Yes, I am fulfilling God's will with what I'm doing. Yes, your life was not in vain, John. Don't let your heart stumble because of the other things that you've been hearing. Yes, I am the one. Because, not just because I say I am, but because I am doing the will of the Father. And I'm fulfilling those prophecies which he made concerning him." And so John's disciples take all this and they depart, returning to John to give him this message. And following this, Jesus turns this into a teaching opportunity, as all good teachers will. And he turns this into a teaching opportunity and says to those around, says, "Who is John? Why is it that you went out into the wilderness? Did you go out into the wilderness to see somebody who was dressed to the nines? Did you go out into the wilderness to see somebody who was of great importance? Why were you going out to the wilderness?" He goes, "Those of great importance, those who are dressed to the nines, those people, they reside in palaces, not in the wilderness. Out into the wilderness to see John because you believed him to be a prophet. I'm here to tell you he was a prophet. In fact, there is not a prophet up to this point more important than John. John had a very special task.
He had a very simple message.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very simple message. Telling people they needed to repent and telling them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's close. It's nearby. It's not far off. It's not a couple millennium away. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is there within your grasp. John had an important message to do, and John fulfilled that job that he had been given to do. And yet, as great as John is, Jesus said, the least in the kingdom will be greater still. The least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater even than John. And then when we look at this, the next thing we see in this passage is, how did the people accept the word? And you basically have your two camps. You have those who did accept it and those who didn't. Surprisingly enough, it was the same people who had accepted what John had to say and those who had not accepted what John had to say. You have the poor and the tax collectors, the people hearing the word, and they're praising God. They hear it, and they justify God. They turn to God, which is what the message was all about. That's that repent part. Turning to God. People and the tax collectors did this. And it was those who had been baptized of John, and it was those who were hearing the words Jesus and accepting them. They are hearing and accepting. They are doing what was being asked. They are repenting. They are turning to God. On the other hand, we have the Pharisees, the lawyers. These are the ones who heard John's message and rejected it. And now they're hearing Jesus' message and they're rejecting that message also. And so Jesus offers up a little parable concerning the children in the marketplace. And then offers up this comparison. Says, John came preaching the message of God, neither eating or drinking. Those who were rejecting him were saying, he has a demon. Jesus says, I come eating and drinking, and you're accusing me of being a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend to tax collectors and sinners. The basic message here is Jesus saying that those whose hearts are hardened against God's word will always find an excuse for doing so. Sometimes that excuse is going to be because they find fault with the messenger. Well, you know, John's living out in the wilderness. He's dressed roughly. You know, he's locusts and wild honey. He's got a demon for sure. No sane man would do that. Jesus comes eating and drinking, and, well, we can't accept his measures. Look at him. He's a wine bibber and a glutton, and he hangs out with tax collectors. those evil traitors to the people. Were either one of those about the message being preached? No. But in order to reject the message, they found an excuse in the messenger. Was what John doing wrong? Did it in any way really detract from the message? No. Is what Jesus doing was wrong? Did it in any way detract from the message that he was preaching? No. The message was clear. The problem was not with the messenger. The problem was not with the message. The problem was in the hearer. The hearer who was self-justified and therefore did not feel the need for repentance in their life. And because they didn't feel the need for repentance, they rejected the message. This is our passage. And there are many things that we can pick up from it. There are going to be times of doubt in our life. Times when we're feeling low, feel kind of burdened with the world. Maybe even feeling a bit isolated. We need to do what John did. When he was feeling low, when his confidence was shaken, he sent to Jesus. When our faith is low, when we're shaken, we need to go to Jesus. We need to delve into his word. We need to spend time with him in prayer. We need to go to the source. So that we can once again gain strength through it. We need to take heart that Jesus was who he said he was, or Jesus is who he said he is, to put it into the present tense. So that we know and can take encouragement from that. Not just because of what he said, but because his actions backed them up. His words were backed up by his actions, and his words and actions were backed up by God's word in saying what it was that he would do and say upon this earth. And of course, as always in this life, we have a choice. When it comes to the message of God, we have a choice of what we're going to do with it. We have the choice of accepting God's message or rejecting it. And when it comes to God's message, how are we approaching it? Do we let little things distract us from that message? Do we allow the messenger to get between us and God's message? We need to be those who are open-hearted to God's message. And even though we may not be, we may think, the messenger could have been a little bit nicer in relating that message to me. Or, you know, he could have been a little bit gentler or a little bit more loving in tone of voice. The messenger can always be a little bit more something. But what about the message? Is the message that they are proclaiming in line with God's word? And if it's in line with God's word, we need to not let the messenger get in our way in accepting what God's word is asking and requiring of our lives. This passage that we've read closes with, "But wisdom is justified by all her children." Our life is going to show the wisdom that we have. Whether we follow the wisdom of following Christ, or whether we follow our own wisdom or the wisdom of the world, our life will show that wisdom. As I said, just as the people of that time had a choice, we too have a choice. And it's a choice we need to make each and every day. Do we follow Jesus? Do we do those things that show His light living in our life? Or do we go our own way? Rejecting God and His message. God loves us. He wants us to be saved. 2 Peter verses 3:9, chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to you ward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God made it easy for us. Jesus did the heavy lifting. All we have to do is accept the gift that He has granted to us. We offer this time of invitation. If there's any who have need, prayers, or putting on Christ in baptism, whatever your need may be, we ask that you come now as together we stand, as we sing.